Okay, really interesting topic today. In Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadita, we're on the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Gimel, and this is paragraph Resh Lamed Aleph. Okay, it's page 188 at the bottom, and the Gemara reads as follows: "Em ba'avon giloy arayot v'avodat kochavim v'ashmatat shmitin v'yovlot galut ba'al olam." There are a lot of things that cause galut, and here the Gemara mentions several together, and Rav Kook is going to explain what's the connection between them, and that is giloy arayot, forbidden sexual relations. Number two, avodat kochavim, avodah zara, idolatry, and hashmatat shmitin v'yovlot. How does shmita fit in there? And because of all of this, Hashem sends us, Am Yisrael, to exile. But that's not enough. Umaglin otan, ubain acherim v'yoshmin bin koman. And Rav Kook is going to talk about what is special about why isn't it enough just to send us to Chutz Laretz, that Hashem also brings somebody else in our place. As it says in Vayikra Yud-Chet, ki et kol ha-toivot ha-el asu anshei ha-aretz. And the Pasuk says that Hashem exiled us from the land, exiled them from the land and brought us in as a result because of their sins. And if we do the same sins, they'll do the same thing to us. Uchtiv vatitma ha'aretz ve'efkod avona aleha. Uchtiv, all of these Pasukim are in the same place. Ve'lo takia aretz etchem betam achem ota. And if we do observe the mitzvot, then the land won't vomit us out. Ubavodah zarah k'tiv, v'natati et pigrechem v'gomer, God will give our flesh to be eaten by the carrion. Uchtiv vashimoti et migdashechem, God says, also if we sin, he'll destroy our temple. V'etchem ezareh b'goyim, and Hashem will disperse us to the different nations. Bishmitinu biyovlot, also, if we don't observe the seventh year, and we do work in the sabbatical year, or in the 50th year of the Jubilee year, it says, az tirtse ha'aretz et shabtotea, kol yimei ha'shama. If we don't observe the mitzvot, then the land will demand her Shabbat by kicking us out. Vatemba or eretz oyvechem, and we will be in the land of our enemies. Uchtiv kol yimei ha'shama tishbot. And then when we are in exile, that is when the land will rest. So the question is, what is the connection between forbidden sexual relations? Usually, by the way, that's talking about ni'uf, having relations with somebody else's wife, and avodah zarah, and shmita and yovel, and exile. So Rav Kook, in paragraph Aleph, writes as follows. Hachala'im ha-mikrim, kesh-mizdamnim be'ezel chevra klalit, kol zman she-mitgabtsim beribui gadol mepertei isheha, tzricha chevra ha-hi miruk u-refua. There's a very important idea, a very basic idea in Rav Kook's Zionism, that nationalism is supposed to be more than the sum of the individuals. But if the sums of the sins of a society is more than the sins of an individual, then why should Hashem let that state continue, right? That state is then counterproductive. The idea of the masses meeting on the lowest common denominator is mentioned in Freud. Freud calls it the group mind, where anybody who's ever been at a even a semi-violent riot knows that people lose their inhibitions. If everyone's yelling and everyone's doing something, look at what's happening in America now. Sure. It's enough for just a couple of people to start breaking windows, and everybody breaks windows. What's that?
Because of a football match.
Yeah, all right. Especially in Europe, in the soccer matches, right? And you find people who normally they won't yell and they won't curse, but if everyone's doing it, they lose their inhibitions. I once read an article on this. It's interesting. A famous question: why in singular is the word ish, and in plural the word is anashim? the plural should really be Ishim. There is a modern word in Hebrew, Ishim, which means personalities. But in the Tanakh, the plural is Anashim, which is Lichora, the plural of Enosh. And that's the point. Enosh was the first one who did idolatry. Enosh was an evil person. And when you bring a lot of individuals together, there's a tendency for them to be Enoshes. In other words, to meet on the lowest common denominator. And that's when the impulses come out and we lose our inhibitions. This, by the way, the positive aspect is that there's what's called safety in numbers, right? If you're together with a group of 10 people, I remember sometimes we used to have problems with the Irish kids on Friday nights in Riverdale. But if you're in a walking group of 5 guys, 10 guys, that gives a certain amount of safety. And it's all the same thing, that you lose your inhibitions when you're in a group. And peer pressure could be something very positive. That's why it was invented. When you're in yeshiva and everybody wants to grow, and everybody wants to be spiritual, and everybody wants to stay up till 12, 1, 2 in the morning. So that is positive peer pressure. Here we're talking about what happens if there is negative, if society is a negative influence. That society needs an upheaval, which is exile. And the more bad a society is, the more upheaval they need in order to fix the situation. Right? That is where the Torah talks about chas v'shalom, plagues, sicknesses, wars, enemies. All of it is to have a revolution and to stop our regular lives. I'll already foreshadow. That's what Shemitah is about also. Shemitah is to stop your regular daily life and to examine. And if Shemitah doesn't get you to examine and to fix your ways, then we need a Shemitah Beribua, a Shemitah squared, which is exile, Rav Kook explains. Where when we are exiled to a foreign land, look at World War I, look at World War II, where everybody loses your place of work, you lose your home, you don't know the customs. And everything in most of Ashkenazic families in World War I and World War II, families were totally uprooted. And that's where Rav Kook is going to say that is when society needs what's it called in the with the teeth? Root canals, right? When you got to really uproot everything and start anew and build shtalim and et cetera, that is when things are really bad. And that's what exile is about. And that's also what Shemitah is about. Okay? So Rav Kook is beginning to pull the things together. Paragraph Bet. Omnam. Here, we'll scroll down a little. Omnam. Tuchal ha'uma litrape al yidei shinuyim nimratzim litova b'darkei chayeha. In a nation can, through extreme actions, change her ways, right? We have free will. Shelo yenuknim ki im al yidei yisurin ra'av dever choli chere be'ezu chiyotze b'zeh. Aval uma b'chlala tuchal yishaer b'mkoma be'arza uv'mechona. In other words, the first plan, first level, is if we're bad, so Hashem Chas V'Shalom will bring us a plague. When a person is lying in bed and he's thinking about death and life, that will get him to analyze his priorities. But that is where we are still in our place. Paragraph Gimel. Lo chen hema hachala'im shem pog'im b'yesodot shel ma'amad ha'chevra. This is not the case when we're talking about social problems, moral, religious, spiritual problems, which attack the basics of a culture. And here we'll already foreshadow. Rav Kook is talking about Gilui Arayot, where there is a weakness in the family unit, and Avodah Zarah, where there is a weakness in basic religious beliefs, right? When there is such a basic weakness, then we really need super upheavals. Super bad need super upheavals. Shekeshehim nifkeim mekabelet ha'chevra kula tzura mushchata. Right? When the basics of society are really bad, so all the culture is corrupt, the machshavot, and then the thoughts, the mindset priorities are ruined. Vargashoti kariot al yesodot ha'chaim nilkot mimeoran. That's an interesting phrase. Rav Kook says they are like a solar eclipse. What is a solar eclipse? I think we just had one, right? A solar eclipse is that we got these, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these huge, the sun, right? And naturally, it is Meir, it's lighting the way, but sometimes it's covered up, that nature is covered up in a way that there's even the sun doesn't shine. In other words, even our natural goodness and the natural goodness of the nation of Israel, sometimes it's eclipsed, and society gets really corrupt. And then the norms become corrupt. And that can continue. Once we're on the slippery slope, that'll get even worse from generation to generation. They lose the basic essence of the Jewish soul and of the Jewish nation. And if so, we have no choice but to uproot the Jewish nation. God has no choice but to uproot the Jewish nation. Paragraph Dalid. Leze in davar mo'il ki im chilyon charutz shotef tzedakah. Galut Shleima. Rav Kook is bringing here psukim from the Navi, which talk about total exile. Sheoma ne'akeret miyesoda mimechuna. God uproots us from the base. Mikol taluchotev tzivyona. Because our base is corrupt. Our thoughts are corrupt. Our actions are corrupt. Our priorities are, everything is corrupt. There is no way to fix that but to exile us. To teach us that humility. To get rid of our job and our money and our house and those things which are doing more harm than good. And that is the real problem. Rak az kishitakir avituta haklalit tikanes harfua vatavata drachima pratiim lichlau ma'ase ve'achar kach kish yikuvtsu banel litocha. Here Rav Kook is already being positive. After that exile, when Hashem returns us afterwards, yuchlu lichaber tzura chadasha metuheret melichluchei halichluchim haklaliim. This is very interesting, where Rav Kook elaborates in an article in Mamari Re'iyah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Am Yisrael something unique. We messed up the first time, and God sent us to exile to Babylon. We messed up the second time, and He exiled us to Rome. And I'm sorry, the first exile was to Egypt, second exile to Babylon, third exile to Rome. And now we are coming back. And every time it's like one of those, boxing dolls that you knock them down and they come back. Nachum takum. And this is totally unique, where we take for granted that God will always, we're eternal. And God made a covenant with our forefathers and He's always going to give us another chance. And, thank God. Our situation is good. Most nations, they're just exiled, and that's the end. Paragraph Hey. Ulifamim kol kach od. So what is Rav Kook saying? He's saying that the exile is to wipe the slate clean, reevaluate life and priorities through being that nomad who doesn't have a job, doesn't have anything, and has to rethink, who am I? I'm a Jewish. What is Judaism about? What is Torah about? And then Hashem will bring us back to the land of Israel and give us another chance. Paragraph Hey. Ulif amim kol kach amok mushreshet hi ashchata klalit ad shekav'a layateid ba'omek chayei ha'umah. And sometimes it's so bad. We'll just skip down a little. Tzibur lo maiti veruach am enenu nimchak. Sometimes, like we said before, the community, society will do things which are so bad that the individual himself would not do. And in a case like that, we have no choice but to be uprooted from the land to bring somebody else. God is going to bring another nation into the land, although they're not going to succeed here. But that is going to show us that we really have to shape up in order to be brought back. Okay? And uvenkach vekach. Let's jump down. Again, we're running out of time. Towards the end of paragraph here, benkach vekach, towards the end of paragraph vav. Uvenkach vekach yuchlu akraim litached. In the meantime, that which was torn apart will be reunified. Vauma alula yoter az b'shuva el arza. And then, when God brings us back to our land, litraper refuah shlema mibli lashuv el chatat ne'ura, ki boshet alumayich tishkachi. Rav Kook is making a very interesting use of, as we've seen many times, the microcosm parallels the macrocosm. Just like in the microcosm, there's what's called chatot ne'ura, which Chazal said that's talking about the sins that we do when we're teenagers. And mostly in things regarding the boy-girl relationships, etc. And it brings the pasuk here from Yeshayahu, and that the sins of your youth we will forget. And just like when we're young, we do stupid things that we regret when we're older. So too, in the macro, Am Yisrael, as we mature, as we get older, after we go through exiles and troubles and tribulations and wanderings, and we're going to be that much more mature and that much more thoughtful and that much more ourselves when we come back, hopefully. If not the second time, if not the third time. Chazal tell us that there are only going to be three returns to the land, and this is it. We have returned now for the last time. So Bezrat Hashem.
I mean, we learned already from our mistakes.
Yeah. Hopefully, that's what maturity is about, to learn from our mistakes. Paragraph Zayin. Hakoach haroshi hapoel b'chayei haklal likvo alem tzuratam haneota v'matima el yesodot ha'chayim haru'uyim litkonen la'orach yamim u'litalot b'yater ma'ala midor lador. Long sentence, as usual. Rav Kook is saying, what is the main drive force which, when good, that is what brings life, that we learned last time. Life, good is life. And it brings goodness, and it brings altruism, it brings godliness. It is the family unit. Hi kdushat ha-mishpacha, kvoda v'shloma. When the family unit is running properly, then the culture is going to run properly. Society is going to run properly. But how did the Gemara start? If we begin cheating on our spouses, if we begin gilui arayot, that is going to be the end of the beginning of the end, the beginning of the slippery slope. Why? Because the family is the basics of goodness. Vashifa pratita mukal lirot chayim tovim, ksherim, shlevim, umleim tom v'yosher b'chug mishpachto. Hari, all the goodness, in our goodness, it comes from being part of a family. Rav Shlomo Karlbach puts it nicely. He says, he writes, actually it's Baal Peh. He says, what is love? Love is when a person gets me to be the best person I can be. When I want to impress my girlfriend, impress them on positive things, you know, not just having, you know, cheerleaders, yeah, he scored 25 points in the basketball game, but that energy of having a girl cheer you on and get you to be that much better a person, that much more thoughtful, that much more learned, right? I remember one time, I remember it was my wife or my kids, I was driving to Yerushalayim, and this was before the new road, by, if you remember, Aram, they used to throw rocks, and there were rocks on the road, must have been the first Intifada, And I was, I think it was with the children in the car, and there was a rock, a big rock on the road, and I was just able to swerve around it. And then I thought to myself, hey, my kids would be really impressed if I get out of the car and move the rock over to the side. And I noticed out of the corner of my eye that they were very impressed. And that is what love is. When you want to be a dugma ishit, a personal example. I once mentioned here that altruism, we always learn in the family, right? Where you learn if you have a balloon, it's more fun to play with your brother than just to hold it on your own. I remember one time I was riding a bus with my older brother, and I saw somebody take a stick of gum and put it in his mouth. And I whispered to my brother, we hadn't learned the laws of Lashon Hara. So I said to him, you see that pig? He's already eating a whole stick of gum. To which my older and wiser and cynical brother said, what are you, stupid? It's just Ima, our mother, who makes us take every stick of gum and break it in half and give it to our stupid younger brother. That's where we learn to share. Altruism is the most godly trait, and that we learn when we support our family, when we cook for our family, when we clean for our family, when we pay for their education, when we pay that, we just give and give and give. That is what it means to be godly. And that is what the family unit is about. On the other hand, here Rav Kook uses a beautiful pasuk. Jump down to the end of paragraph Zion. In this context, he brings Gan Naul Achoti Chala, Gal Naul Ma'ayan Chatum, Shlachaych Pardes Rimonim, Impri Megadim, Kfarim Im Niradim. Like most of Shir HaShirim, it just sounds like, you know, something poetic about love. But Chazal explain Gal Naul means the garden is locked, and it's referring to Tzniut. That a woman does not give herself to others. What Rav Kook is saying is that that tzniut, that family purity, has shilachayich pardes rimonim. That has offshoots regarding everything. And it brings us to also niradim. In niradim, niradim is fragrance. It's a perfume. That is going to have ramifications on what the house, the fragrance of the house, the fragrance of society. Paragraph Chet. Mashehu mevin shoa klalit al yesod merkazi shel achayim aklalim. But what brings a holocaust on society? Umachshich et kol maor v'chol toar shebehem hu gilui arayot. If we take those same drives that can get us to be good and altruistic and supportive and thoughtfulness and break out of our ego, but if we take that same sex drive and turn it into fun, right? Something self-pleasure. And then the next stage is to turn money into fun instead of a necessity. And food turns into fun. And sleep turns into fun. And everything is for fun, fun, fun. And the family gets lost. And those same kohot boomerang and the sex drive, that is what ruins a culture. Anybody who knows the lower classes in America knows that most of the children in the bad neighborhoods are born out of wedlock. They don't have fathers, they don't have normal brothers, their mothers have to work as cleaning ladies or chas v'shalom worse, and it screws up the entire society. And where does it begin from? Not having tzniut. So that is how Rav Kook is saying that Gilui Arayot messes up everything, and that is the beginning of the slippery slope, which in order to upheave that, we're going to need, first of all, Shemitah, and if that doesn't work, exile. Okay, let's jump to paragraph Tet. Paragraph Tet begins, Hadavar HaMa'amid. Hadavar HaMa'amid, את חיי המשפחה וחיי הציבור ליתן להם אור חיים של פריחה ותוספת כוח, תלוי בעיקרו באותו הציור האידיאלי של כללות החיים. We're still on the first side. Right? What brings life? What brought the baby boom? Right? Why are more children born in 59, 60, 61 than any other years? So sociologists explain that life was good. The family unit after World War II, the economy was strong, the family unit was strong, and that is when you want to bring children into the world, when you have a world of priorities. Not a selfish world. A selfish world does not want children. A selfish world turns sex from something giving into something taking. And that is counterproductive. Okay, paragraph Yud. ולפי השפלות שביסודו הרוחני, כן יתפשטו ממנו ענפים שהם זמרות זר המביאים כפידה וכלכלה כללית. Right, again, these terrible things have a lot of ramifications. כלל שפלות המחשבה הראשית העליונה שלו יונות הוא עבודה זרה. The worst action, also morally and also spiritually, is paganism, idolatry. Al ken hi mevi'ah le'olam et ha'galiyot ha'klaliyot. And that's why Chazal tell us, also the Gemara in Yoma, one of the three things that brought the first exile is Avodah Zarah, as we mentioned many times, that paganism, by definition, is immoral. Where in mythology, the gods are always fighting with each other, imitatio dei, I can be violent. In paganism, the gods are takers. They're always withholding this or withholding that. And the whole idea of man giving sacrifices is to pacify or to buy off the gods. So who are the gods for primitive man? They are takers. Imitatio Dei, those are the gods that society is going to emulate. Ro'u amim v'chotu. Hitazru v'chotu. Hitazru v'chotu. Again, another pasuk that says it's just going to get worse and worse, and we have to improve. Chiluf ha-ma'amadim v'amekomot. Here Rav Kook explains, what is the essence of exile? Why does exile change us as people? Changing a person's ma'amad, where in your land, you had a job, you were upper class, maybe middle class, all of a sudden, you're lower class. V'amekomot. This is why Sancheriv, Ba Sancheriv ve'bilbelet ha'umot. What was Sancheriv, the king of Ashur? His ideology was to always exile everyone from their original place, and it takes them decades to get their act together. That's a sophisticated type of divide and conquer, right? Divide them from their nation, uproot them. So the change of status, the change of place, shinuyei hamusagim, also, when you are uprooted from your corrupt culture and you come to a new culture, now that new culture might be even more corrupt, but you notice it because it's new. And exile forces you to examine your priorities. If it's a better culture, so you learn something better. If it's a worse culture, no matter what, you have to do that self-examination. And again, that's what happened to the Jewish community in World War I, World War II. Everyone was examining. Everyone was starting new lives. Omnam. Paragraph. Yudbet. Bechol ofen hayotir ratzui shebechayei hachevra I efshar lirshut harabim shetilaket bimlaket uverehitni. In the communal Rishut Rabim, in society at large, you cannot come with pinzetta?
Tweezers.
Tweezers, and pick out this and pick out that, because everything is klali. Ve'i ashar lechevra lu'umit shlema b'lo akmumiyut shebalev. There is no such thing as a culture without some problems. We mentioned in the past, I think the Balatanya says Sibur stands for Tzadikim, Beinonim, Urushaim, right? Inevitably in every society, there are going to be less spiritual and less idealistic and less moral people. And if that's built into society, So what are we supposed to do? Rav Kook says, Shabbat is a day of rest, where we stop our day-to-day life to contemplate priorities. Life is more than work. Life is more than money. What is life about? Now, what happens if Shabbat doesn't do the job? There is even a greater Shabbat, and that is Shemitah. And if that's not enough, have two Shemitahs in a year. That's with the 49th year and the 50th year, Yovel. And if in two full years you don't re-examine and rediscover your Jewish essence and what Jewish Israeli society is really supposed to be about, then God really has no choice but to exile. So Rav Kook has explained why exile is a directly connected with Gilui Arayot, with a problem of family life, Avodah Zarah, a misuse of ideology and morality, and Shemitah and Yovel, which could have and should have solved the problem, but it wasn't enough. So we basically leave God no choice but to uproot us everything and to send us to exile. Which exile?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
It seems to me that Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayot.
You know what, Judy? I'm sorry. We're mamash running out of time, but sorry, I don't have the 30-minute end.
No problem.
So just write it down, and then I'll ask it at the end, okay? Because we're going to jump now to the rest. Bikitsur, yeah, we basically summarized the major points. Let's just jump to the very last sentence. That terrible sabbatical, which has been a 2,000-year sabbatical, beruach mishpat beruach bar hu ya'azor l'tchiyat ha'chalakim ha'nirpashim, that should get us to reject the corrupt parts of our culture, ulechidush ha'tzura bo'or chadash, to revive Jewish Israeli society, or chadash, with the new light, al tzion ta'ir, kol yemei hashamat tishvot, by the fact that if we didn't get it from having what we should have gotten out of the sabbatical year, God is going to give us a 2,000-year long sabbatical year, and we'll have plenty of time to think and to rethink who we are and what it is about.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, time for questions. Yeah.
So what I wanted to ask is that Shemitah is something that now that we're not an agricultural society, or at least not Beikar, an agricultural society, a lot of people don't feel it. They don't feel that tiltul that you were talking about of having a year and 2 years where you have no avodah, you don't have parnasan, you have to think about what's going on in your life. If you're a businessman, you just keep working.
That's a very, very important point. And Bezrat Hashem, when we have a Sanhedrin, I won't be surprised if the Sanhedrin institutes some kind of sabbatical year, which, by the way, you all know teachers have a sabbatical year where the goal is to revive and to recharge your batteries. I think it's a great idea for everyone and anyone. And I won't be surprised, but that's the type of thing that only the Sanhedrin has the shoulders and the clouts to be able to make such a decision. But you're 100% right, and I won't be surprised if that's what's going to happen.